recap of Sunday's readings, it's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And today's homily highlight is by Monsignor Syak from Christ the King Church in Milwaukee.
So, St. John Henry Newman, who was one of the great converts of the 19th century and a great theologian, he said, "If Mary's body was not taken into heaven, where is it? Why do we not hear of her tomb, as being here or there? Why are pilgrimages not made to it? Why are relics not producible of her as the saints in general?" Because, as that passage from the book of Revelation just showed, she's in heaven. God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant could be seen in the temple. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And what do we know about the ark? Well, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, the ark was very important. As depicted in the book of Exodus, it was built at the specific command of God to Moses on Mount Sinai. And the Lord, you can read this in Scripture, the Lord gives very precise instructions about how this ark is supposed to be made, what it's going to be made out of, and how to go about building it. It was made of acacia wood. It was plated with gold. That's significant. Angels on the top of the propitiatory facing each other with their heads down, their wings spread and touching. And what was in the ark? Well, in Deuteronomy, Moses tells us that when he came down from the mountain, he placed the tablets into the ark he had made. So the Ten Commandments, the tablets of the law, right? The law which showed us how his people is going to begin living his life in the covenant. And the contents of the ark are further described in the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 9. Behind the second veil was the tabernacle called the Holy of Holies, in which were the gold altar of incense and the ark of the covenant, entirely covered with gold. In it were the gold jar containing the manna, the staff of Aaron that had sprouted, and the tablets of the covenant. Three very significant things, all prefiguring Christ, right? The manna, the staff of Aaron, and the tablets of the covenant. And when the ark was finished and was dedicated, the cloud took possession of the ark, and from there God led his people through the desert. So the ark of the covenant really was the dwelling place of God with his people, which is why when the temple was built in the Holy of Holies, that's where they put the ark, in the most sacred place. Right? It was God's presence among his people. It was carried by the Levitical priests in advance of the people when they're on march in the desert, when they entered the promised land, and even when they went into battle. So let's see how the ark of the Old Covenant is a prefigurement and how it gets fulfilled in Our Lady, who is the Ark of the New Covenant. Now, there's many things we can say. I'm just going to pull out a few. First is the gold, right? The Ark of the Covenant was covered with gold. What do we just see in that vision of Our Lady from Revelation? Clothed with the sun, even more so. And God's glorious presence overshadows the Ark of the Old Covenant, Exodus 40. Then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled down upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God, the Holy Spirit, overshadows the Ark of the New Covenant in Luke. But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And Mary, the new ark, bore Jesus inside her. We go back to what was in the old ark, right? The manna, the staff of Aaron, and the tablets of the law. Jesus fulfills all those things, the staff of Aaron symbolizing the priesthood, that Jesus is the true bread from heaven that the manna was pointing towards. And Jesus is the one who is the fulfillment of the law. And the Israelites used to take the ark into their battles. You can think of Jericho, the taking of the promised land against the Philistines and fighting the Ammonites and at the siege of Rabbah. All these moments where the people of God were threatened and when God's promises were put into jeopardy from the outside. And we can see that Mary, the Ark of the New Covenant, is at the center of the cosmic war between her son and Satan. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they did not prevail, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The huge dragon, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with it. And in that scene from Revelation, there is Our Lady, who the dragon is trying to destroy because of who she bears within her. And then finally, the presence of the ark brings joy. Here's another type and fulfillment. Let's go to 2 Samuel. When David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, the holy city, it says, David came dancing before the Lord with abandon, girt with a linen ephod. David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and sound of horn. Let's go to our passage from Luke that we just heard. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb. The linen ephod that David was wearing is the garment of the high priest. Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband and the father of John the Baptist, was a Levite as well. That's why he's ministering in the temple. So John the Baptist was from this priestly family. And in the presence of the Ark of the New Covenant, he leaps, he dances, even in his mother's womb, for joy at that presence. So on the Solemnity of the Assumption, we're asked to look up to heaven with St. John and to see there the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, the one who is the Ark of the New Covenant. The one whose yes to God was so perfect that she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and carried within her womb the very Word of God incarnate. And we remember at this Mass, we too have the opportunity to receive Jesus and to bear him within us. And we ask that we might say our yes to the Lord in imitation of our beloved mother. And in a very special way, those who have been preparing to make their consecration to Our Lady and those who will be renewing it will be drawn more deeper into this mystery of the Assumption. So what about this date, 1950? Why was this teaching, this truth, not defined so clearly until then? Well, if we look at the 20th century, it was one massive, horrible blasphemy against the dignity of our destiny. No century in the history of the world was more human blood shed than in the 20th century. Again and again, the 20th century screamed and blared that our final destiny was the oven, the mass graves, the concentration camp, the gas chamber, the muddy trench, the frozen Siberian waste, the anonymity of the cubicle, the facelessness of the production line, the dereliction of the nursing home, the dumpster behind the abortion clinic. The 20th century taught us that people who can't produce should die, that people with defective bodies or brains should die, people who did not look like us should die, Children should die. All people should die. Mud, blood, and death. That we are made to be thrown away. In a word, not made in the image of God. And that is a lie from the father of lies. And so right in the middle of that century, 1950, the church held up for us the icon of our true destiny. Through Mary, the church made clear what we are made for. Our true destiny, not just of our souls, but our bodies as well. Even they have a dignity to be glorified in eternity. She is the Ark of the New Covenant, and she is with us as our queen in the cosmic battle of our salvation.
And that is today's homily highlight by Monsignor John Syak from Christ the King Church in Milwaukee.